Our dear, most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, from whom all blessings flow, we thank Thee for this privilege of being apart from the world and coming into Thy presence with our open hearts to give Thee prayer and praise and testimony, to that Thou knowest what is in our hearts concerning our experiences as we consider the promises that Thou hast made, that Thou wilt be with us and guide and direct us, that Thou hast promised help in every time of need. And so we thank Thee for these promises as we tell Thee and our brethren of the experiences that we have as we walk in a narrow way. We thank Thee for each one that testified here and for each heart and mind bowed before Thee, that we might receive a blessing from those experiences. We thank Thee for the gift of Thine only begotten Son, through whom we have life more abundant. We thank Thee for our brethren throughout the world and pray that Thou will bless each of them as we ask for ourselves, that they might be strengthened and guided according to their individual needs. Now as we consider, as we continue before Thee, we would pray that Thou wilt bless our brother Yike as he breaks for us the bread of life, that our minds and hearts might receive the message that Thou hast prepared through him, that his mind and heart and lips might be blessed with that message. We thank Thee for this privilege and for the gift of Thine only begotten Son, and we give Thee all the prayer and praise now and forevermore, in the name and through the merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Brother Stephen Yike of Orlando, Florida is our next speaker, and he's going to address us on the necessity of fellowship. Brother Stephen.
Thank you, Brother Marty. The first thing we have to do in addressing this title is to qualify it. And we qualify this title, which Brother Marty announced, the necessity of fellowship. We qualify it by saying the necessity of fellowship to those who have been given this privilege. Because, as was mentioned this morning, we know there are some of the Lord's people in this world who do not have the privilege or the opportunity of fellowship, whether it be in an ecclesia or even the opportunity to come together in ways such as this. They are isolated. And we know that the Lord is especially near and dear and blesses them in his all-wise and all-loving way to make up for this privilege which they do not have. But this title, The Necessity of Fellowship, we believe that everyone in this auditorium, it can be applied to each one of us, because the fact that we're here indicates that we have, at least in a limited way, if not in a larger way, the privilege of fellowship. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We believe that the Scriptures show that for those of us who have been given this privilege and opportunity, that there is a necessity that we fulfill that privilege to the best of our ability, that we do not forsake it. We have three sets of Scriptures we'd like to use as a basis for this thought. The first one is a very familiar verse in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The word assembling in this verse comes from a Greek word which literally means a complete collection, and specifically a Christian meeting for worship. A Christian meeting for worship. So what the apostle here is saying is that we're not to forsake our meeting together. In our ecclesias, if we are privileged to have an ecclesia, or in gatherings such as this. We are not to forsake that privilege if and when it is given to us. Going back a verse in this 10th chapter of Hebrews to verse 24, we read that, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now we think it's no coincidence that the 25th verse immediately follows this statement, because in what other way could we provoke one another to love and to provoke unto good works than by assembling together? If we forsook our assembling, we couldn't very well provoke unto love and to good works. Now in this verse, this 25th verse, he goes further. He doesn't just say that we're not to forsake this privilege, but he says we're to exhort one another, or as the Diaglot says, we're to exhort to it, to exhort toward this end of assembling together. It's not enough that we just don't forsake this, but we've got to promote the assembling of ourselves together. This verse very clearly shows the need, and we believe the necessity, for fellowship. Our second scripture is in Psalms, and this was referred to this morning, Psalms, the 133rd chapter. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I was interested in this word unity, because in the Hebrew it means as a unit. As a unit. Very much similar to the word assemble in Hebrews 10:25. The thought of a complete collection, a unit, the body of Christ. This word unity does not necessarily have the thought of complete unity of thought or unity of the way we express ourselves at all times, but unity of purpose, the purpose of making our calling and election sure, as a unit, as the body of Christ. And it's good and pleasant for us to dwell together from this standpoint, that we all have this same goal. Our goal is Christ. But the importance of this kind of unity, or this assembling as a unit, is really brought out in the second verse of this psalm, because it's tied in to the precious ointment. It says, "This is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment." This is the Holy Spirit that we're talking about in the antitype. And so this dwelling together as a unit, as a convention or as an ecclesia, whatever the arrangements are in our own walk, as we dwell together in this way, this is like the presence of the Holy Spirit is evident. As it ran down typically upon Aaron, upon his beard, even down to the skirts of his garments. And it would seem that if we forsake this privilege, of assembling with our ecclesia or not taking advantage of these opportunities to attend conventions, to assemble together, that we would not be using the Holy Spirit properly that the Lord has given to us. We would be grieving that Spirit to that extent. Now our third scripture is in Malachi, the third chapter. And these verses here are familiar to us, but at least myself, I had never tied them in to this particular line of thought until just recently when some of the brethren in our class gave us some comments in one of our meetings which tied these verses into the thought of our assembling together. And this is in Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now we're all very familiar with these verses, how they speak of this book of remembrance, that it speaks of this jewel class, the Lord's jewels. But who is he referring to here? Well, the beginning of the 16th verse says that he's referring to those that feared the Lord and that spake often one to another. Spake often one to another. This again seems to tie the thought of this jewel class and this book of remembrance to those who are taking advantage of their opportunities to speak often one to another. Because the Lord hearkened to these who were taking advantages of their privileges of fellowship. Now these three scriptures seem to lay the outline for the necessity of fellowship. But there are perhaps other reasons why we should not forsake this privilege as long as we are given the opportunity to assemble together. We're drawn closer to the Lord by our fellowship. It has been said by some that being with our brethren is next to being with the Lord himself on this side of the veil. That really, as long as we're on this side of the veil, that the closest we'll ever be to the Lord is when we're with one another. Also, our assembling together promotes our further study of the Word of God. We would tend to become much more negligent of our study of the Word of God if we weren't coming together and stimulating one another through our thoughts and our words, what we hear and what we say in our meetings together. Perhaps we have heard the thought expressed from time to time, and maybe this has even been expressed by brethren. We hope that it is not, but perhaps it has, that why do we keep studying the same things over and over and over again? Why do we keep reading the same scriptures over and over and over again? The Apostle Peter gave us some very interesting words along this line, which they're words that really aren't, they're unique, I think. They're not found in any other sets of scriptures that I know of. He was giving us some lessons along the lines of adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, patience, and so forth. And after he finished giving us the lessons along this line, he says, wherefore, this is verse 12 of the second epistle of Peter, first chapter, says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. He doesn't stop there. He says, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I don't think any of us can put ourselves ahead of the Apostle Peter, can we? As long as we are in this tabernacle, we need to continually stir one another up by repeating these sacred truths over and over and over again. These truths which are enabling us and helping us to fulfill the vows of our consecration. Though we know them, and we are established in the present truth, we must continue to be stirred up. And what better way to be stirred up than by meeting together at every opportunity? Certainly to be examples to one another requires that we take advantage of this opportunity of fellowship. It's simply impossible to be an example if we don't see one another, isn't it? We need fellowship. We need companionship. We don't find it in the world. Our Lord said in his prayer to his Heavenly Father in the 17th chapter of John, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Yes, we need fellowship with our brethren because we don't have it in the world around us. Now, the fact that we are here in this room would indicate, at least on the surface, that we have not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. Are we really not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Let's ask ourselves a few little questions about our assembling, because there are perhaps more subtle ways that we might be forsaking, to a certain extent perhaps, our assembling together. For instance, when we go to assemble with our brethren, do we go with the idea that we're going to say something or contribute something to that assembling? Or are we just going to, maybe what we might say, make an appearance? Remember, Jesus, in his ministry, he didn't go around from place to place just making appearances to those who desired to follow him and were curious. He was always doing something, either saying something or doing something of good, of value. Even menial things, such as washing the feet of the disciples. Yes, we should always fellowship with the idea that we can contribute something, even if it's just a word of encouragement to our brethren. Let's ask ourselves another question. And this is one that I have to ask myself a lot. Do we find it easy to contribute in our formal meetings together, but find it very difficult to contribute in more private fellowship with our brethren? This is something that I have problems with. It has been very difficult for me over the years to fellowship with my brethren on a one-on-one basis, although it is not so difficult in the meetings. But this is something which maybe others have a problem along this line, and it's something we want to work on, that we might extend our contribution to the mutual upbuilding of the body of Christ beyond what it might currently be. Or perhaps the opposite is our problem. Maybe we find it easy to fellowship one-on-one, let's say, but very difficult to contribute anything in our meetings. This also is something we need to work on if we have this difficulty. And our leaders certainly should take the responsibility of trying to make sure that everyone, is as much as possible in our meetings, is involved with our studies, with our activities, in our ecclesias, in our conventions, as much as possible. Or this question, do we show any preferences or partialities in our assembling together? Partialities towards certain brethren. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that we should have the same care for one another. There should be no difference in our care one for another. Or how about this question? Are we just plain lazy sometimes when it comes to assembling together? Do we just maybe lack the desire at various times? And I think of all of these little questions, this is the most serious. Because unless we have the desire to fellowship, the desire to assemble together, then we will need to take a serious look at our own selves and this great responsibility that we have to take advantage of this privilege. If our class secretary called us this afternoon at home, and she told us that tonight we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to have a very special speaker at our meeting, and that speaker is going to be none other than our Lord Jesus, I think every one of us would be at that meeting, not only be there, but be there probably 2 hours ahead of time, so that we wouldn't miss a moment of the opportunity to be with our Lord, to hear Him, to see Him, to fellowship with Him. Our desire would be so intense that we would hardly be able to contain ourselves. Well, the Lord is in our meetings. He's not here physically, but His Spirit is here. And so our desire should be just as intense, just as keen, as it would be if He was physically present among us right here in this room. Yes, we do have a need, no, not a need, a necessity, we believe, for fellowship, as long as we have this opportunity. Paul, in his epistle to the Philippian brethren, opens that epistle with some very beautiful language to those brethren, in which he showed his great appreciation for their fellowship. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And why did he thank his God upon his remembrance of them? For your fellowship, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul needed this fellowship. The Philippian brethren needed Paul's fellowship. We need the fellowship of one another. It is our desire and our prayer that we might each, from the first day that we have begun in this way until now, and until the day, whenever it might be, that we make our calling and election sure, or the day that privilege may be withdrawn from us by the Lord, that we would take advantage of the necessity of fellowship.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Let's close this portion of the meeting with hymn number 143. We'll rise in the last verse, and then we'll ask Brother Steve to close with prayer, and we will have an intermission and be back in our seats at 3:45 to hear Brother Emil. 143.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy and blessed name. Dear Father, we do thank thee once again for this privilege that we have of assembling together in this convention. We would ask thy continued blessing upon its services, upon our fellowship together, that it all may redound unto thy glory and thy honor. And we especially, dear Father, ask thy blessing and thy tender care and mercy to be with those who do not have the privilege of assembling together as we do. Grant unto them from thy own rich storehouse thy blessing and thy love to make up for not having this privilege. Now, dear Father, go with us, and may thy Spirit continue at this convention, we pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.